Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
I find it disconcerting.
There will be an appropriate time and a place to review policy.
What does this rapporteur even do?
The liberals and conservatives want to play a political game and score points.
I think it's pretty self-explanatory.
You're actually sharing half of the story.
Lies, 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 yeah.
10:47 here on this Tuesday morning. Great to have you here. It is that time in the week where we bring in our friend Tom Korski, managing editor over at Black Locks Reporter, and he always delivers. How you doing, Tom?
Well, thank you, Alex.
Out there protesting, were you over the weekend with the pro-Palestinian Hamas?
No, I was not. I do my chores
right
on the weekend. It's clean living. I mind my knitting on the weekend. I have no time for street protests.
Well, there you go. Hopefully they're out. Remember how people would freak out about the convoys? They seem very comfortable now with parking in at universities, right?
Sad, and in particular, given that exams are over, this is jobs time. I don't really understand what's happening at our universities, but people have been telling me for years,
yeah,
you have no idea what's going on at universities, and I accept that. But these protesters are mystifying me.
I think Lathmer Roof has got to be running
mother and father, right? Like, what happens when you go home and the mother and father who are paying the tuition and the book fees and say, I just got suspended for jumping on the flag of Israel. I just can't wait to see what happens next.
I mean, if they're rampant Jew haters, they'll think it's great. Fantastic! You're wonderful, right? But I swear to God, Latham Maroof has got to be on the payroll here still, right? He's got to be on the government payroll with all
this. Newsflash for student protesters. If you think college administrators are cold and unresponsive to your feelings, come on down to the private sector. We're waiting for you. You get work right next to guys like me. You're not going to enjoy it.
There you go. Let's talk about when friends work with friends. And boy, oh boy, it's nice to have friends in high places, right? The issue of procurement is a hot talker. And you got a couple of stories about the amount of favoritism coming into question, you know, whether it's McKinsey. That's Dominic Barton's company. I think, I don't know how much he made off of consulting, but if you've got friends in the right places, apparently they're doing really well.
Procurement Ombudsman is a man named Alex Yeglich. He testifies in the Commons Government Operations Committee. What he said would peel the paint off the side of the house. What did he say? There's rules, many, many rules in place for contracting to protect value for taxpayers. It's called a system. And he said some people don't like the rules. And so what they're doing is using the system. His words, his testimony, the insiders are using the system to help their friends. He said, we have to do something dramatic. This is very costly. So what you have in this testimony is the outline of a corrupt scheme. This is the definition of corruption. So if you follow the rules, you're a taxpayer, but let's just call you a sucker. But if you have connections, Alex, and if you have the secret handshake, you can use the system to benefit financially. And no one does anything. Alex, procurement annually by the government of Canada, it's billions. Consultants alone is over $20 billion dollars a year.
Yeah.
It's almost the size of the military budget.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's just so crazy that we have to farm out all this work when we pay a massive amount of money to the public sector to do it. Is he naming names? Because, I mean, the question to him is, you know, are we dealing with influence peddling, collusion, perhaps problems with training of staff? And he's like, well, the answer's a big one, but did we get names of names?
This is the difficulty. It is left to Ombudsman Yeglich, members of the Government Operations Committee, members of the Public Accounts Committee, MPs on the Ethics Committee, to pull all these little threads. Because it's not like there's a cabinet that's running this. This is the unbelievable part. You have the Treasury Board President, Anita Anand, who was Minister of Public Works, responsible for contracting when they borrowed and spent $500 billion during the pandemic.
Yeah.
She testifies recently in committee. She says, you know, it's not really my job to oversee day-to-day employee operations. She's a big-picture person. Big picture. How's this for big picture? You have a corrupt system in place. You have your ombudsman saying your people are using the system to reward their friends. What are you going to do with it? That's the difficulty.
Well, I'd like to think it'll come out in the wash, but who knows at this point. But yeah, I mean, why would you mind the dollars and cents when you're just when you're the Treasury?
Always comes out in the wash, Alex, but the money is gone.
Yeah.
This is there's your health care dollars. It's billions, and it's gone.
Yeah, it really is. There's your pharma care. There's your dental care, right? There's breakfast programs for kids. It's very frustrating. But then, and almost, you know, kind of a in the same theme, you've got customs officers warning that we could be looking at another ArriveCan style fiasco. Oh. So like they're saying, hey, never mind, you know, they're looking at digitizing the $32 billion in yearly tariff collections. I mean, what could go wrong?
What could go wrong? Every time you see the federal managers walk towards the computer room with a clipboard, everyone gets really nervous. The last time they did this, they were going to reform the administration, electronic administration of payroll. It was supposed to save $70 million a year. So far, it's cost taxpayers $2.5 billion in software fixes. Yeah. No one got fired.
What about the
then
Phoenix? The Phoenix pay system.
That
we fix
that? It cost a few thousand dollars, right, and it wound up costing $60 million. The police investigations continue. And here's this one. Everyone who's looked at this, shippers, the union, MPs, you name it, said, for the love of Mike, don't touch that button. It was supposed to start electronic tariff collection. You just know this is the Hindenburg coming in for a landing in an electrical storm. And they were supposed to launch it May 13th, and they put it off till Halloween. And the smart money says they're going to put it off forever. By the way, it's already gone over budget. $500 million spent.
Jeez. Well, you know, I'd rather them cancel it than keep it going. Like the Phoenix pay system. I don't know how many kajillions that's cost us. I mean, I don't think it's even fixed, right? That was something that came in the Harper government.
No, it's still going on. They launched it in 2016. They're still paying compensation.
Crazy. Assuming people are still getting paid, right?
It's only money.
Yeah,
it's only money, honestly.
Honestly. Meanwhile, you know, I do think this is an important headline, and it won't get a lot of attention, but, you know, we've got a military with dangerously low recruitment, right? Like, we don't have enough people, never mind the equipment. And yet we've got fewer and fewer Canadians. They're not even enthused. They might say, oh, maybe the military, maybe not. They're not even going there.
This is focus groups by the Department of National Defense. Exactly, Alex, they have a serious problem with the strength. They're off, by their estimate, 26% off targeted strength, which, by the way, is pretty minimum. Canadian military, what is their target? They're looking at about 70,000, 72,000. And right now they have 63,000 reservists, and at minimum 30,000. They have about 22,000. So they did a bunch of focus groups with young Canadians, job seekers 18 to 34, not interested. Even people who were mildly interested in the concept of joining the military never pursued it. They say, and they always say this, oh, well, we're getting out-hustled by the private sector and other employers. There may be other factors at play.
Yeah, but can't they advertise, hey, you get a nifty uniform?
Yeah, they're slow on the pay raises. This is the thing. It's not that there's a master race in the private sector.
Yeah.
It's just when you have a labor shortage in the private sector, you know what they do? It's not, believe me, they're not rocket scientists. They just pay more. So the military's having trouble with that.
Having trouble.
You know,
and
they're spending too much money fixing things, right?
Yeah.
Like we just talked about.
Right, like gender-neutral uniforms. They're very important, right? Nonetheless, all right, stay tuned. We'll talk Thursday.
Thank you, Alex.
Thank you, I think. Tom Korski joining us, National Treasurer he is. I don't know if I should laugh or cry when I listen to him, but I'm sure glad he's able to tell us the stories. So, yes, no one should be surprised. We can't get recruitments to our military. Can't imagine why.